our text. It's really the point of the psalm, but focusing in on verse 19, they spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the desert?" And then those concluding verses that refer to him choosing his servant David, who leads them with integrity of heart and with skillful hands. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Dear people of God, called to be saints, when I was younger, we would enjoy mountain climbing. We enjoyed hiking into, for those of you who may know, northern British Columbia, into Silver King Basin, or hike up to the glacier on Hudson Bay Mountain. The wilderness is an appealing place as long as things go well. But when something goes wrong, when someone gets injured, when you lose supplies, or when bad weather comes on you a little quicker than you anticipated, then the wilderness can suddenly be a fearful place to be. And you can become anxious pretty quick. And what was enjoyable one moment suddenly is not, and you wish you were at home. Israel kind of experienced that. They celebrated their freedom from slavery. Great celebration on the banks of the sea. And they were on their way to the promised land. This was a trip that made good sense to them. Although in Egypt they had had plenty to eat, they had been slaves of Pharaoh, who had wanted to kill their sons. As they head out, God does not take them directly to the northeast toward Canaan, but he actually takes them southeast into the wilderness. Now, when they're in Egypt, that wilderness looked pretty attractive. At least it wasn't Egypt. It wasn't slavery. But the wilderness is full of barren hills, deep valleys, sun-baked dirt, not much food or water, especially for a large group of people. And it was hot during the day. Not at night. Then it would get very, very cold. And it wasn't a very peaceful place, not a restful place, because every day they had to pick up and move, or most days they had to pick up and move. And when they ran out of water, God supplied water. And their provisions began to run out, and they began to miss meat and veggies. And they complained, and we read, they tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" You get the impression, don't you, that anxiety at this point was setting in, because they began to see the hardships of the wilderness. They had indeed longed and prayed for freedom and deliverance. They had left Egypt burning their bridges behind them. But they were not yet where they wanted to be. They were in between, you'd say. They were already delivered, but not yet. And that in-between stage is a difficult place to be. We actually are afraid of it ourselves, those in-between stages. They had their freedom, but they weren't fully enjoying it. And yet in God's providence, this is where he's leading them. we've discovered, I'm sure, that this is where God leads all of us. We all have to go through some wilderness time to get where we know God wants us to be. And a wilderness time, well, if you've ever been in a big wilderness, you know that it can be a very lonely place. Wilderness is big. If you're walking in the wilderness of Sinai, I've not been there, as you can imagine, because I've been in other places of wilderness. But you can walk and walk and walk, and the terrain doesn't seem to change very much. What I discovered in the mountains is you can climb one mountain, and what do you see? Lots more mountains. Lots more valleys. Loads of trees. And you wonder how many more you have to go through before you get where you want to be. And that's the way we often feel when we are in between. You know what it's like. You've had surgery, but you're not yet restored to full health. You've applied for a job, but you haven't heard anything. You humbled yourself and you apologized to someone, but things still aren't good. We pray for loved ones that they may be saved, but not yet. We want victory over sin, but we're still struggling with it. We know we have forgiveness, but we're still struggling. We want to patch up a relationship, but it's not yet complete. We're trying to change things for the better, but it seems sometimes we run into one problem after the next. And to be honest, that can be a very lonely place, can't it? So lonely that we sometimes think that God isn't even hearing us anymore. It's not true. It's rather the other way around. We're the ones who have removed our eyes from God. But there is Israel. Notice the question. Can God set a table in the wilderness? Now, you know what a table suggests, don't you? We're going to be gathering around the table. At least I assume most of us will be later on in the day. And the table suggests a time of fellowship. It's a time of food. It's a time of peace. It's a place of prosperity, of celebrating prosperity. It's a time of enjoyment. It's a time of encouragement. At the table, you're not alone. You're accepted. Regardless of what you may be going through, you're still part accepted. In Psalm 23, David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Fellowship, food, peace, prosperity, enjoyment, encouragement. You provide a table for me. And God does that for us. We celebrated communion last week. All is well when you are together in communion, isn't it? There's fellowship, there's food, there's prosperity, there's peace, enjoyment, encouragement. Remember the man who hosted a great banquet, but his invited guests, or at least many of them, decided not to come? So he sends his servants out into the highways to bring in some others, because he wanted this banquet. He wanted it filled. Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Luke 14, 21. And when they had done that, there were still seats left, so he told his servants, go into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house might be full. And the point is, if those invited, and this was an indictment against the covenant community, but if those invited would not come, then the master would go after those who would never otherwise be invited to such a fine affair. That's what God does. He goes after people the world overlooks because the beautiful people have little interest in coming to him for salvation. When we come to the Lord's table, or when we are gathered here to feast from his word, all earthly distinctions are set aside. We come as we are, sinners, in desperate need of grace. And here we lay aside anything that separates us. All titles, all differences in status, all differences of race, color, language, culture. We come here hungry and thirsty to the table of the Lord that he has provided. Jesus promised his disciples that they would eat and drink at his table in his kingdom. And the final great meal is called the wedding supper of the Lamb. And this is but an anticipation of that. All four Gospels record the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in a remote place. The disciples wanted to send the people away because they had no food. Jesus said, no, let them stay. And he provided food in abundance. No one left hungry and there was food left over. You know, children, maybe all of us, but children can easily complain about food. They don't like the veggies. They would rather have chocolate milk. They would rather have tacos. And so on. And that, of course, is a form of childishness that must be weaned out of them, that complaining attitude. And so, also, for the children of God in Israel, in the wilderness, God heard their complaining, and he provided bread. They complained, and he provided meat. And they whined about the food they could not have. It got boring to eat the food of angels every day. How many ways can you cook quail? And we're not surprised when we read about this, because we're quite familiar with this. Because we often do the same when we take our eyes off the Lord. We're given abundance, and we so quickly take that for granted, and we long for other blessings. You just had to think on what God had done for them. He had kept them safe through the plagues and led them through the Red Sea so they could escape from Pharaoh. He led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He gave them water out of a rock, a rushing stream, not just a little trickle. This was a rushing stream. It wasn't enough. It's never enough if you don't trust God. So they complained. Can God set a table in the wilderness? I got the impression they were kind of lonely. They were longing for something else. They were discontent. They focused on what they lacked. So they were unhappy and miserable. God gives them daily food, but they wonder if God can provide a table in the wilderness. Forgetting God's mighty works, they lacked joy, peace, contentment. Do you feel like you're in a wilderness right now? And not experiencing joy, peace, contentment, blessing? Have you taken your eyes off of God and what He has done? Off of what He has provided, is providing, will provide? Do you forget how much food God has provided for us? How much water there is in the river of life? We don't serve a poor God as if God cannot help us. And we don't serve a stingy God who will not give us what we need. Sometimes we ask, where's the money? Forgetting that God can open windows in heaven and pour out in abundance. In Christ, we are granted all the riches of heaven itself, access to the throne room of Almighty God. We have been set free from the guilt of our sin. We have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, a guarantee of what is awaiting. No, we have not yet arrived at the perfection that God has in mind for us. We're in this already but not yet stage of salvation, like Israel in the wilderness. But all too often we're focusing on where we're not, what we're lacking, on the wilderness around us, on our weaknesses, or on the failures of others. When you're in the wilderness will test you, and it will show very quickly our weakness of faith. It will demonstrate how quick we are to complain about God's leading and His provisions for us. And yet it is in the wilderness that we realize that even in our lack, God meets our needs in the most surprising of ways. Sometimes in the wilderness, we look back on where we've come from and we wish we had the good old days. We wish we had Egypt. But if we always stay in Egypt, we'll never experience the wonders of God in the wilderness. We may long for Canaan, but until we are there, we live by faith in the works of Almighty God. We are in the wilderness as a church. All forgiven. We don't yet enjoy the fullness and final perfection of the kingdom. And as a church, just as we are like individuals, this in-between stage, it's not an easy place to be. Here we often feel alone. Here sometimes we look around and we see what we don't have, and we can be joyless, hopeless, discouraged, and we wonder how long is this going to go on? 40 years. That's a long time. At least we think it is when we're younger. 40 years, that's a long time. And it's easy to get lost in the wilderness. In the wilderness, we find out our own shortcomings, our own failures. We wrestle with all kinds of temptations. In the wilderness, too, though, we see God providing in ways that are even beyond our understanding. It's in the wilderness we learn to trust God's providential leading and care. In the wilderness, we learn what God is like. In the wilderness, our faith is tested and strengthened. And I don't know what your moment of wilderness may be at the present time. Perhaps you are experiencing spiritual loneliness. Perhaps you are struggling with a conflict between you and another person, perhaps an unpleasant person in your mind. Perhaps you're going through economic hardship. Maybe you just find life boring. Cancer, perhaps. Sick family or friends. Depression. Maybe you just feel lonely in the congregation. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage and in your family. Maybe the failures of the church and the failures of others really weighs you down. Maybe it's your own sin that you're struggling with. And you're wondering, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Can God meet our need considering the terrible situation we're facing? Can we be at peace and joy in our present struggles? In my life, I discovered something. Through 5 years of depression, I discovered at the end that God was with me all along. When I was diagnosed with a carcinoid tumor, I experienced the strength of Almighty God. When I faced various temptations, I discovered God was there, and He led me through. And I discover every day again that God still loves and forgives and gives me hope. And I have seen in my ministry people by God's grace be converted from a life of sin and despair to one of joy and peace in the forgiving grace of God. I have seen marriages that were hopeless, even breaking, be restored and strengthened. I have seen joy at the moment of death, and exceeding joy in the face of absolute poverty. And I have seen times when you wondered, can a congregation stay together in this kind of tension, and yet out of it, God brought about a tremendous unity. And I'm convinced that sometimes God must be weary with the way we can question His providential leading, His itinerary for our lives. How often don't we think that the direct route to Canaan is right along the Mediterranean Sea, when in reality it's through the wilderness of Sinai? We often think we know better how to get where God wants us to be. We're often prone to grumble when things get difficult for us rather than simply wait upon the Lord and to see and to learn what He is teaching us. He often leads us through the valley of the shadow of death where we need not fear, but we often do. He's a mysterious guide. We simply follow the cloud. We don't know what's around the next corner or over the next hill. We often sometimes think God is a poor tour guide. Because it seems we never get out of the wilderness. Can God set a table in the wilderness? Yes. But you have to be in the wilderness to find out. Remember how Jesus himself was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of the living God, where he underwent a temptation by the devil, and yet he came through empowered by the Spirit of God to be our Savior. The wilderness is never easy, but God always has a purpose for putting us through what he does. If we are resolved to follow Jesus, we have to learn to spend time in the wilderness in his footsteps. Israel of old had to do this many, many times. And his church does. He tells us that. We have seen that in the series on Revelation. How God takes his church into the wilderness for their protection, actually. For their welfare. That's where we are brought for our well-being. Jesus has said, you do not enter the kingdom without suffering. And suffering isn't fun. It tests our faith to the full limits of our human resources, and we find out our human resources run dry. We feel like giving up, like God has abandoned us. And we just don't feel joyful. We don't feel at peace. Nothing seems right to us on our own strength. And the Lord will come to us and say, do not fear, child of God. Remember the promises of God. Remember the works of God from before the foundation of the world. What he has promised, what he is doing in Christ, and what he says he will do in Christ. Look to Jesus, what he has done, what he is presently doing. He died for you. Now he lives and reigns for you. Don't be tempted to go back to your old way of life. Don't give in to your human emotions. Instead of fighting your brothers and your sisters, learn to lean on them and to help each other, looking to Jesus. God never leads us into the wilderness to destroy us. It's always to test us. It's always to teach us and to lead us out stronger and purer. In the wilderness, we do experience God's grace. In the wilderness, we discover spiritual growth. In the wilderness, we discover God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at work for us. It's in the wilderness that we discover the secret to joy, the secret to peace and patience and victory. And that is this: looking to the works and the word of the Lord and believing what he has said and what he has done and is doing. Life is not about our dreams, our agenda, our hopes, our ideas, our plans. It's God's plans. It is about entrance into a far greater inheritance and abundance than we've ever dreamed. He has a kingdom ready for us. Can he provide the way through? Can he provide a table in the wilderness? He can. In fact, he has already done it. And he, in his daily feeding, is bringing us through the wilderness to our final resting place. Today we are in that point of wilderness. Today we are a people in journey to the new heavens and the new earth. And scripture encourages us, you look up to Jesus Christ, enthroned in glory, and you will discover that he has provided you with far more than you ever imagined. It's in that way of looking and trusting that we will discover that today can be a day of thanksgiving, of praise, of joy, of celebration, of life abundant and everlasting, no matter what we're going through. Psalm 78, the last verses, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. That's Christ. Christ with a skillful hand shepherds us, even through the darkest of valleys. That's why we can hear and we know the truth of Habakkuk 3. Though the fig trees should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. And that passage we often like to quote. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? He has. In Jesus Christ, he's provided us an abundance. Trust him. Amen. Our response would be number 128 in the brown, the Lord's my shepherd. Number 128 in the brown book.
turn to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you on this day to thank you and to offer to you our praise, our adoration, and our worship for all the blessings we receive from your hand day after day and year after year. We thank you for the freedom and the privilege we have today and each week to gather as your covenant people, your church, to worship you and to hear your word preached and proclaimed. We thank you for Jesus, the Word who became flesh. We thank you for his obedience to your will. We thank you that Jesus willingly condescended from heaven for our salvation. We thank you that it pleased you to punish him for our transgressions so that we could have peace with you. It is in him, of him, and through him that we find purpose and meaning to life. We thank you that in Jesus we are united to one another as members of his body. We thank you for this gift, the gathering of your church. This is not an achievement of our own, for you have called and appointed each member from before the foundations of the earth. And it's by your will that each member has its place. Lord, we pray that you would build your church by your word and spirit. Help us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have put before us, that in all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Help us to build up and encourage one another and bear one another's burdens, that the body of believers will be built up, that the name of Jesus would be exalted as the head of the church, and that your name would be honored and glorified. Lord, as we look back and reflect on this past year and the things that we have experienced times of joy and times of sorrow, times of trial and times of uncertainty, times when we have been in the wilderness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the marriage of Sam and Helen Boland, for their profession of faith in you and their membership in your church and their desire to serve you. Will you bless their marriage? We thank you, too, for the profession of faith of Gretel Slager and Josiah Van Essendelf. Will you watch over them and keep them in your care as they seek to serve you? We thank you, too, for the new births in our congregation this year. We thank you for the birth of Hans to Eric and Stacy Hoeksema and the birth of Lydia to Luke and Terry Van Buren. We ask that you grant strength and wisdom to the parents as they seek to train and teach their children, that you have given them and that you would that they might train them in your ways. We pray, too, that you would be with Eric and Stacy as they return to the Ukraine in January. Will you grant them safety and keep them in your care and bless their work? We pray for the expecting mothers of our congregation. We pray that all might go well for healthy babies born in the time that you have appointed. We remember, too, Lord, the passing away and laying to rest of Nancy Cutler. We thank you for her testimony and witness of your grace to her. We thank you for your word and the hope that we have that when we die, knowing you as Lord and Savior, we will one day see our loved ones and all that you have called in glorification around your throne. Lord, we remember Grant also. We are mindful of the hope we have in your word when we hear of the parable of the prodigal son and of the lost sheep. We pray that your spirit would draw Grant to his senses, that he would hear and recognize your calling. Lord, we know that nothing is too hard for you. We pray too, Lord, for the elderly, for the widows and widowers, for those who are suffering from frailties and weaknesses. We pray that you would draw them closer to yourself and that you would grant them your peace and comfort, knowing that each circumstance we find ourselves in comes as a new summons to trust and obey you. We pray that they would be witnesses of your grace, knowing that we are never in the grip of blind fate or chance, but that we are in the hands of a sovereign Heavenly Father who knows our every need and cares for us more deeply than any earthly father could. Lord, we pray too that you would be with Allison as she has gone to the hospital and appears to have kidney stones and is experiencing some pain. We pray, O Lord, that she would be relieved from this discomfort and pain, that she could return home and that the situation would not continue. We thank you, too, O Lord, for the healing that Barbara Van Essendelf's mother, Mrs. Bergenhill, has experienced, that the process she has gone through seems to be successful. And we pray, O Lord, that here, too, that this might continue. And we ask that you would keep her in your care. We pray, too, O Lord, for the baby of Aaron and Deb DeHoag that has fever, that here, too, that we pray for your healing, and we pray for peace of mind, and we pray that things may be well again also. We think, too, O Lord, of Rachel Brickhouse, who has cancer of the neck and who does not know you as Lord and Savior. We pray, O Lord, that through this situation, through this wilderness, whether she knows that she is in one or not, that you might use this time to cause her to think and ponder her condition before you. And we pray that she would come to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray, too, O Lord, for Jack Wishner, who is struggling with cancer. And we pray, O Lord, for peace of mind for him, and that he might know that all things are in your hands, and he might be comforted by your salvation. We thank you, too, O Lord, for the many families and the children you have entrusted to the parents. Will you strengthen and equip the parents in the task of bringing up their children in the fear of the Lord? We thank you for the youth of our church and pray that your word and spirit will work in their lives, that you would draw them unto yourself. We thank you for those who teach the Sunday school classes and different classes and studies on family night. Will you strengthen, guide, and grant them wisdom? We ask that you grant wisdom and equip the elders and deacons for the task you put before them. We pray that they would be sensitive and considerate to the needs of your church. We thank you for those willing and able to serve on a new slate for elders and deacon, and we pray for your guidance and blessing on the upcoming congregational meeting. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Pastor Tuniga as he prepares and brings us your word each week. Would you strengthen and equip him for the task that you have given him? Would you grant to him wisdom and a shepherding heart for your people? We pray, Lord, that you would be with each member of our congregation, that you would watch over us and keep us from sin and temptation and the snares of the devil. Help us to daily meditate, ponder, and contemplate on your word, remembering that you make all things new and are in the process of building up your church for your honor and glory. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Hear our prayers as we pray in unison with one voice, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have often debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll now be singing number 205, which is taken from Psalm 103, The Tender Love a Father Has.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Almighty and merciful God, we come to you today, taking time on this special day once a year to offer thanksgiving to the remembrance of the one who is the giver of all bountiful harvest. It brings blessing of thankfulness to each heart, pausing each day in the home or at work, that will bring a blessing of thankfulness. We are thankful that our nation does set this day aside, where many families get together and enjoy the food and fellowship that you have blessed us with. We thank you for our government and our country that allows us to serve our God as we please. We also thank him for the provisions he has given. Lord, will you take us and our dear ones and all that concern us into your care and keeping? We know that this holiday has been celebrated for many years. We know that our government announces this. We also ask it if you would continue to be with the government now this year as they seems like they're reorganizing, and we ask if you will lead them in this step too, and our president-elect as he chooses cabinet. We ask it if you would continue to be with them, that the decisions that they make are done in accordance to your word and your law. We ask it if you would continue to be with them as they strive to do this. Remember particularly those also who are traveling in dangerous places for their promotion of your kingdom. We know that we send missionaries out to many areas of the world, and at times many of these countries are unstable. Their governments are not supportive of Christianity being proclaimed in their countries. But we ask it if you would be with those who do this work, that they too may be uplifted, and that we may keep them in our prayers each day as they do this work and also do a lot of traveling. We thank you too for the products of the soil, which many of us tend. We know that many places and people that do not have the luxury of choice of food that we would like or that they would like, many are wondering where their next meal comes from. We are very thankful for this in our country too, that the land that you have placed us on produces crops that feed this world and help the many farmers that do the work from day to day, that they too will be blessed from the work that they do, but also knowing that they are helping to supply the world with food. Lord, we see many people too wondering about the global warming and what's going on with storms and earthquakes, and we see that happening quite often now. We know that the earth is in turmoil due to the result of sin. The earth continues to groan as we see what is happening in the world. But the Lord has, he also controls this, that in Genesis, we see that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We can look at the universe that you have placed us in and stand in awe and wonder. I know a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, I was coming to this church, the moon was coming over the horizon, and it was clear, and the minister from New Bern was with us driving, and he said this was the closest the moon has been to the earth in, I think, since 1948, and it looked very large. And I know distance does not mean that much, but the wonder of it all, that just looking at the moon and the stars and the sun as it travels around the world, and each day that we know the sunrise every morning, we sometimes on a cloudy day we wonder if we'll see the sun today, but we do know that the sun is there, and we know it was put there for a reason, and according to your timing, that from the day that you created the universe and set the whole universe in motion, that the timing has been very faithful, that we can count on this, that man cannot change this as far as the rotation and what happens. And if it was not for this, we would not have the food grow like we do. We know that all our production depends on the sun and the rain and what the weather that you send each one of us. And we are thankful that man cannot control this. We ask it if you would continue to do this for us. We know that you do supply all of our needs. We ask it if you would also be with those that are in the service of our country in foreign lands. Kyle over is in Iraq now, and Kayim Borma, he's overseas in Europe too, that you may be with each one of them as they do the work that you have set before them too. And we know that there's problems throughout the world, and we ask it if you would be with all those in service that are supporting our country. We also ask it if you would be with those that are in law enforcement. Wherever they are, we see that there's turmoil in our society, too, with the rejection of the law that you have put over each one of us, that they can control the peace in our country. We ask it if you would guide each one of them, help them to do the work that you have set before them also. We seen what the pastor said this morning in Habakkuk 3, chapter 3, that he said, I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful. And when he talks about having feet of a deer that enables me to go to the heights, that means that he has helped us to be sure-footed and gives us the confidence we do as we walk in this world, that we may do the things that you have provided for us. Even if God should send suffering and loss, he would still rejoice in his Savior. And we ask if the Lord will help us to have the same confidence that Habakkuk had seen in his life. We ask it if you would continue to be with us now throughout this day also, that we, as we gather with family and friends to around the table which you have supplied for us, we ask it if you continue to be with us throughout our life and some problems that each one of us has at times. We ask it if you would give us the hope and the courage and knowing that you control our lives and what happens in that one day, that we can look forward to be with you and all our problems will be solved and we can stand back and rejoice with you, knowing that you have done this great sacrifice by sending your Son into this world to pay for the sins that we have committed. And therefore, when you look at your Son, you do not see the sins that we have committed and have wiped our sins away. And also, all our tears and our problems that we have in this life, too, will be gone, that we can continue to rejoice with you for eternity. We ask all this now. Be with us now. In your name and glory, we pray alone. Amen. We'll turn to number 43 in the Brown Book. We plow the field and scatter.